In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
Happy New Year. It's Monday, January 2nd, 2017 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. A desperate manhunt has been launched to find a terrorist who reportedly shouted, "Allahu Akbar," which means Allah is great in Arabic, before shooting 39 people dead and injuring 69 others in an Istanbul, Turkey nightclub packed with New Year's Eve partygoers. The Turkish governor said, quote, "It was a cruel, cold-blooded act," unquote, reports the Mirror. A stunning video has been discovered showing a crowd of mostly Christian schoolchildren in the Netherlands being taken to a local mosque. They were separated by gender and taught to participate in Islamic prayer. The London Express reported that the children were laughing nervously as they were told to put their, quote, "elbows on the ground," unquote, to bow to the false god of Allah. The preachers include an imam named Anas Nirani Siddiqui, who promoted the death penalty for those who insult Muhammad. Exodus 20, verse 3 says, "You shall have no other gods before me." According to Mission Network News, the last few years have presented troubling trends for Christian persecution worldwide. The year 2016 was the third year in a row in which persecution continued to rise significantly. Countries that ranked highest on the 2016 World Watch list were Syria, Afghanistan, Eritrea, Iraq, and at number one, North Korea. In addition, the International Business Times reports that nearly 90,000 Christians were killed for their faith in the past year, which is the equivalent of one Christian being martyred every 6 minutes. Pro-lifers and the babies they advocate for suffered major setbacks in 2016, reports World News. For example, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down safety measures that Texas lawmakers passed, requiring that abortionists have admitting privileges to a hospital within 30 miles, and that abortion mills have the same safety standards as any ambulatory surgical center. Then, the Supreme Court refused to hear an appeal from a Washington state pharmacist who objected to providing abortion-inducing drugs due to his Christian convictions. Billy Graham made the top 10 of Gallup's most admired men in the world poll. The 98-year-old evangelist made fifth place, just under Democrat Senator Bernie Sanders, Pope Francis, President-elect Donald Trump, and President Barack Obama. The movie filtering service, vidangel.com, has pulled all of its films after a judge slapped them with a preliminary injunction. The company has appealed to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals and hopes for a decision by January 12th. VidAngel.com filters new releases and a large selection of films for language, violence, sexuality, alcohol, and drugs. An organization called SaveFiltering.com has already collected 100,000 petitions to allow families to clean up the films they bring into their homes. California Democrats legalized child prostitution, reports the Washington Examiner. Senate Bill 1322 bars law enforcement from arresting sex workers who are under the age of 18 for soliciting or engaging in prostitution or loitering with the intent to do so. So teenage girls and boys in California will soon be free to have sex in exchange for money without fear of arrest or prosecution. Matthew 18:6 says, "If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." Denzel Washington, the two-time Academy Award-winning actor, explained why, at this point in his career, he's focusing on serving others. On the T.D. Jakes show, he said, quote, "I'm in the service business now. I'm fine. I've done well. I don't need any watches and all of that. So I'm here to serve God, here to serve my family," unquote. And that's The World View in 5 minutes on this Monday, January 2nd, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast, and happy 2017. Happy New Year. It's the 2017th year of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hardly ever mentioned on ABC, CBS, and NBC, or Fox News for that matter. But when we say 2017, we usually follow up with AD on the Worldview in 5 minutes because we want to remind folks that
it's the year of our Lord.
The year of our Lord, 2017. Happy New Year, Bill.
Happy New Year to you.
Hard to believe it's 2017 AD already.
Yes.
I mean, years go by faster and faster.
Tempus fugit, as the saying
well,
goes.
Well, the way it works is when you're 1 year old, you turn 2 years old, that's 50% of your lifespan in a single year. But you start to add years at 52, 53, or your case, 84 or 85.
92.
You've got a smaller percentage of your life that passes in a single year, which makes the years seem like they go faster. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense.
Okay,
my granddaughter just turned one. And
And the next year is going to seem like a lifetime for her.
Yeah.
Because it is a lifetime for her. All right. Well,
watching her seems like a lifetime for me. 5 minutes seems like a lifetime just trying to keep up with her.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Well, we want to add some add-ons to the 2016 year in review before we move on this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast.
Because there are those who have moved on.
They are. And we have forgotten some of these important events that occurred in 2017 while we talked about those who were professed unbelievers who had passed away in the year 2016. There were some who went on to glory, professing Christians, evangelicals who we believe trusted in Jesus Christ and maintained a fairly consistent testimony over a lifetime. They went on to glory. Jack Chick, Cliff Barrows, Tim LaHaye, and Phyllis Schlafly, they all passed away. They passed on to glory in the year 2016.
Cliff Barrows, of course, was Billy Graham's song leader for many, many years.
That's right.
Jack Chick was the cartoon tract creator.
We, I think, dedicated an entire program to some of his content in the Generations Radio program.
And then Tim LaHaye, of course, was famous as a preacher, and also he was instrumental in the backing and the creation of the Institute for Creation Research.
Yes, he was, and I think he was a huge support to Mike Ferris and the development of Homeschool Legal Defense Association. Tim LaHaye was at the forefront of developing evangelicalism and some of the old, more fundamentalist right in the 1970s and 80s.
Yep. He's best known for the Left Behind series.
Yeah.
But the other things are more important than that.
Yeah. Phyllis Schlafly was a rock-solid conservative through the 1960s, 1970s, 1980s. Mm-hmm. And really, this is the old fundamentalist right, which, Bill, I have to tell you, I think it's slowly faded. The D. James Kennedys, the Falwells, the Schlaflys, the LaHayes have faded. And I think we're going to be facing some different challenges in the near future as a more of a minority in the Christian amongst the American population. You don't have the same percentage of Americans who stand against homosexual weddings, evolution, and big government. The millennial generation far more likely to be liberal in those areas than their counterparts from the silent generation.
But there's
and the
always
baby boomers.
There's always a remnant, and that's why I do what I do with Worldview Academy and Worldview at the Abbey. I train students to think and then live in accord with the biblical worldview. So I guarantee you that God will raise up those that he needs to speak on the issues of the day, just as he raised up a Tim LaHaye and a Phyllis Schlafly and Jack Chick and Cliff Barrows.
On the positive side of things, it seems to me that our young people who are attending the Worldview Academies and such tend to be a little more well-grounded in a biblical epistemology, metaphysic, and ethic. And I think that's crucial, because if you don't have a strong foundation of biblical ethics and biblical epistemology, you're probably not going to stand very well in the war of the worldviews.
So, in a sense,
though we're kind of down to the Gideon's 300, the potential of Gideon's 300 is amazing, especially when you know we're teamed up with the Creator of the universe and the God of the Red Sea and the God of Calvary. You know, this is going to be an interesting future for the Christian church in America, but I think it's going to be an opportunity for faith to engage itself and perhaps make some significant progress in some areas in which the Christian Coalition and the Moral Majority and others weren't making a whole lot of progress in the 1980s and 1990s.
I believe so. I trust that God will raise up the generation that he needs.
Well, we also need to acknowledge that in 2016 was the year in which Answers in Genesis produced the Ark Encounter. And this is one of the most significant productions of the 21st century and maybe even 20th century when it comes to the maintenance of a biblical world and life view in a fundamental sense. You know, it seems to me that Answers in Genesis has been right there at the forefront of the battle of the worldviews. They've dug in and they've done some significant things just over the last several years. We'll talk more about that in just a moment on the Generations Radio broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abortifacient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare, and Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way. Protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. We're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today, and talking about the modern Reformation that occurs first and foremost in the foundations, friends. If you're trying to fix what's up there in the 21st story of a building, yet the foundations are cracked, you're wasting your time. There's not a whole lot we can do in politics at this point. If the Christian foundations are eroded, the foundations are destroyed, what do the righteous do? And that's why, Bill, I'm so encouraged with the Worldview Academies and the Summits of the World and the Answers in Genesis and the Institute of Creation Research, when it was scientists that came forward and said, I'm going to bow the epistemological knee to Jesus Christ, acknowledge the Word of God to be the authoritative source of truth. We began to see a fundamental shift in the mind of the modern Christian. And when scientists were the ones, that is, those who were seen as the autonomous minds of the modern, which they were forging their own way into the area of truth in the 19th and 20th centuries. It was so instructive when it was the scientists, the Henry Morrises and John C. Whitcombs of the world, that submitted themselves to the epistemological authority of the Word of God. And if God said in 6 days, I made the heavens and earth, the sea and all that in them is, then we're just going to submit to that, and we're not going to listen to the wizards that peep and mutter and come out of the laboratories and say, I found a rock and it's 4 billion years old. Trust me on this. It was important that scientists acknowledge the epistemological authority of the Word of God, and that constituted a very basic form of repentance in the Christian church in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. And I'm so appreciative of what Answers in Genesis has done as well to promote a biblical view of origins.
Yeah, those organizations have encouraged Christians, have strengthened Christians. Organizations like Alpha and Omega Institute here in Colorado have done that, and they train Christians to think and live in accord with a biblical worldview, as we do at Worldview Academy. And it starts with the foundations, rebuilding the foundations. If you can't trust the first three chapters, as the saying goes, then why should I trust him with the rest of the book? You know, if he couldn't get it right in the first three chapters, why should I trust him with the rest of the book? We need to reestablish the foundations. And Answers in Genesis has done that. They have done that with their museum, and then they've now done it with the Ark, because the second thing that people attack, that non-Christians attack, is this idea of a worldwide flood. You go to 2 Peter 3, 8 and following, and it says that in the last days, mockers will come. You know, they'll question his second coming. Where is his coming? I mean, things have always gone on as they've always gone on. They deny that there ever was a flood, and they deny that God's judgment is coming.
Their basis for denying the final judgment is their uniformitarianism that denied the possibility of a world before the flood and then a worldwide flood that destroyed the world. So that's a basic to their world and life view. They have to believe there is no God who will come to judge the world.
And that's the one thing that evolution does very well. It's not good science. It's not good philosophy of science. It just does one thing very well. It gets rid of the need for God. And that's the uniformitarianism that you mentioned. It is things have always gone on as they've always gone on. They deny that there is a God who works into time, space, history, and brings creation. He brings judgment against sin, and he moves in the hearts of and minds of men.
Answers in Genesis' $80 million Ark encounter that was opened just this last year in 2016, a major symbol, probably the most significant biblical symbol that was presented for the masses in as far back as I can remember, Bill. I don't know a time in which biblical creationism or a biblical view of things has accomplished so much as Answers in Genesis did in the release of the $80 million Ark encounter.
And
is
they
it
continued.
Just in symbolic? You think it's just in symbolic, or is it an educational thing, a kind of a prophetic statement that reminds the Christian population of the biblical authority of the worldwide flood and the real certainty of a final judgment that's soon to come upon the world?
It points to that God is a God of judgment, but he's also a gracious and merciful God.
Yes,
he provided
both.
An ark for those who believed him and trusted him to be saved. And then they point to the ark that we have, that there is going to be a judgment against the sinfulness of this world, and yet we have an ark on board which we can climb, and that is the person of Jesus Christ, and we can be saved from that judgment, that fiery judgment.
The symbol presents both the redemption that God provides his people and the judgment that God brings upon the world, and that there it is with the $80 million ark encounter released to the public by Ken Ham's Answers in Genesis organization in 2016.
And they're pushing the envelope.
And now the rainbow,
right?
So we want to talk a little bit about the rainbow. Remember the rainbow that the President of the United States put, the colors they put upon the Capitol building?
The White House.
It was on the White House.
After the Obergefell
decision, that's right. It was a celebration of the Obergefell decision. For the first time in 6,000 years, man was able to shake a fist in the face of God and redefine marriage for the first time in 6,000 years since God ordained marriage as one man, one woman. And so in order to celebrate this, the President of the United States apparently ordered that the White House be lighted
in a rainbow
in rainbow colors.
Not the rainbow of the Old Testament, but the rainbow of the LGBT
the symbol
flag.
Of the LGBTQ flag, right. And now Ken Ham, the Answers in Genesis president, has the rainbow shining upon the ark in the evening times. And he says that that the rainbow itself wasn't designed to be a symbol of freedom, love, pride, or the LGBTQ movement. So God created this beautiful, colorful phenomenon and designated it as a sign of his covenant with Noah and his descendants forever. Bill, it's a common grace covenant. I think people need to remember that the covenant that God made with Noah is a common grace covenant in which he promised that the world would be preserved, no matter how wicked it would be, it would still be preserved as a world until the end of the world, and it would be no longer destroyed by water. Of course, it will be destroyed by fire at the end, but it would no longer be destroyed by fire. And this is the message that God communicated through the rainbow as a promise, that he would provide this grace to the world. And, of course, he continues that. He continues watering the earth and bringing his son to shine upon the world and gives his mercy and his grace upon both the just and the unjust, as we read in Scripture. So, Bill, what do you think about this rainbow symbol that the LGBTQ movement have taken? It seems to me that the symbol they're using is actually not a symbol of freedom, love, pride. It's a symbol of diversity, but a diversity that allows for, enables moral anarchy. That is, you can choose whatever moral type of, you see how the whole term diversity has been co-opted by the homosexuals such that it includes different forms of sexuality and sexual interests. If people have an interest in incest, or if people have an interest in same sex sexuality, or if people have a interest in cross-species sexuality, some of the most grotesque forms, these are all treated as diverse forms of lifestyles that ought to be approved of by everybody. And that I think is the symbol included in the rainbow. Now, of course, God presents a different meaning for that rainbow, and we get it from Genesis chapter 7 and 8.
And that's what happens, is that those who are in opposition to God, they hijack and they distort and pervert, so that liberty then turns into license. A law becomes lawlessness. And we have them taking what God has provided and twisting it and perverting it for their own purposes.
Well, I think it's important for God's people to produce these prophetic statements and these significant statements. And you look at the Ark and you see it's 400 feet long, and it's a huge landmark in the state of Kentucky. It's impossible to miss, at least if you read the news reports from time to time in the secular newspapers. They're covering this story as well, because this is a prophetic statement to the entire United States, even as the President of the United States wants a prophetic statement in which he celebrates his diversity and he encourages the sin of homosexuality across this country and around the entire developed world. At the same time, Ken Ham brings out his statement and effectively says, repent or you will likewise perish. God has presented an ark, but if you refuse his ark, you will submit yourselves, you will subject yourselves to his judgment, even as the masses of the population that populated the earth prior to the flood subjected themselves to the judgment of God and were destroyed in the flood. Same sort of thing is going to happen in the end of the world. And this is certainly a statement that Ken Ham is making to the population today. It's also another ministry that is bringing out some important stories is Eric Metaxas and Breakpoint. And here's an interesting story that he brings out in a recent Breakpoint episode, which he points to a book written by a Lutheran pastor called Sexual Morality in a Christless World. It goes back to the situation amongst the Romans before Christianity impacted the Roman world, and we receive some 2,000 years of Christ's influence in the Western world to keep some of this aberrant sexuality at bay. But he describes the sexual worldview of Rome prior to Christianity as women and children viewed as sexual objects. Slaves, male and female, could be expected to be raped. There was widespread prostitution. Predatory homosexuality was common. Christian sexual morality might have been seen as repressive by the licentious, but it was a gift from God for their victims. And that's the point Eric Metaxas makes in this article. But I think what's happening, Bill, is that with the rejection of 2,000 years of Christian mores that has happened in just the last 20 years, we're heading back towards the Roman paganism presented here.
Yeah, we are devolving. We are certainly not evolving. We are devolving into a morass of debauchery.
Yeah.
And what the Romans provided was not liberty, but slavery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus said, if the Son will set you free, you will be free indeed. He defines that freedom as freedom from sin. And yet the other side doesn't want to define liberty and freedom as freedom from sin, but freedom to sin. And but again, friends, it's the creator of the universe. It's the source of all ethics. It's the God of all goodness that knows how to define what is true liberty and true freedom and what is the false liberty and the false freedom. And yet the left will not submit themselves to the Word of God and therefore will create for the world the ultimate slavery to sin and to debauchery. And that's what we're seeing happening right now across most of the Western nations. So I guess my encouragement to folks is continue to keep the faith, continue to stand on the principles that God has laid down in His Word. And our little book, Keep the Faith on Sexuality, presents, again, the contrast between the pagan approach to sexuality and the Christian approach to sexuality by chronicling all of the Christian writings and the Christian positions on homosexuality, incest, and other forms of sexuality, in order that we be rooted and grounded in a right perspective of sexuality in this anarchy, in this chaos that's developing in terms of the Western world's abandonment of the Christian worldview in relation to sexuality. So get a copy of Keep the Faith on Sexuality available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. And be sure you're equipped and you know what a biblical position on these issues are, because trust me, my friends, the evangelicals, the center and the left side of evangelicalism is moving more and more in the direction of a pro-homosexual, pro-evolution, anti-biblical approach to these issues. Be sure that you are rooted and grounded in a right perspective on these things. And that's why the Keep the Faith series that we have produced as part of the Generations Ministry. The Keep the Faith series available at our website, generations.org or kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.